Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you. We've just been talking about disaster preparedness in Seattle. Now, Seattle isn't the only city preparing for the big one. Between 1980 and 2009, there was an 80% growth in climate-related disasters internationally. And that brings up a question. Who gets scarce resources during disaster relief? You can buy almost anything in America. Should you be able to buy the right to be rescued? Well, that's where Dan Richards, a former Wall Street executive, saw a big business opportunity. In 2004, he founded a company called Global Rescue. It's a private crisis response firm that rescues the people who are able to pay premium prices. And it's not just disasters, crime, war, injury. Global Rescue is there in far-flung places for the clients who have the money. Now, while the ethics of that can be complicated, Global Rescue doesn't just serve wealthy travelers. They count the federal government among their clients. Even NASA has a contract. Dan Richards says his rescues aren't always quite as exciting as the movies make them seem.
Unfortunately, Hollywood has done our industry a pretty significant disservice. We're used to seeing the good guys coming over the horizon in the helicopters. And while that does happen sometimes, a lot of the time it happens in a much different way. It's much more mundane. We advise people regarding how to best shelter in place. Most evacuations and rescues do have a shelter in place component while rescue teams try and reach the individuals who are impacted. The more that those individuals can do to provide for their own safety, sustenance, and evacuation, the better. Some of our team members are extraordinarily skilled, both in terms of practicing medicine in difficult areas, paramedics and physicians, and also with respect to their security capabilities.
There's a recent article in Wired magazine, I know you're aware of it, written by Abraham Streep, that brings up some ethical concerns with what you do in the cases of disasters where resources are limited. And the earthquake in Nepal was one example where things like helicopters were very limited, where massive rescue efforts had to be undertaken, but also Global Rescue had its resources and was able to use its helicopters and its people to rescue clients, which is your business. Talk about the ethical dilemma there that you've confronted and what it means to be in a situation where so many people need help. You've got the resources, but you've also got paying customers.
These are not easy issues to deal with, which means who gets to decide who gets rescued and who gets scarce resources in the wake of a disaster or a nationwide catastrophe or emergency. In each instance, not only does Global Rescue have we historically provided our services to our clients, but we also bring a humanitarian capability to these countries when we respond that doesn't exist prior to our arrival. Haiti is a good example where we had about 25 personnel on the ground for the better part of a month in the aftermath of that disaster. We actually arrived in the country prior to the airport even being open. We flew our folks in via helicopter. And over the next 30 days, we had about a dozen aircraft flights back and forth between Port-au-Prince and Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, where we were bringing in personnel and food and fuel and water and other types of supplies. We also made availability on those aircraft for humanitarian personnel and for medicines and other things that that the locals might need. Interestingly, in Nepal, we actually ended up providing our services not only to our members but also to Nepalese who were impacted by the disaster. We actually provided more service to the Nepalese than we did to our own members.
Is there some sort of ethical code or a written agreement or understanding with your pilots, your personnel, your doctors and technicians that in a situation like that they have a responsibility once clients are taken care of or while clients are taken care of, that if somebody else who's not a paying customer is also in dire need, that they need to be helped?
It's really part of the DNA of our company. We are in the business of helping people, and we go to great lengths, and our personnel, sometimes at the risk of their lives, go into these places to help people. And it's not just the people who are our members. It's also the people who we encounter along the way. So in every disaster zone that we enter, we do have a commitment that we make to trying to help those who are in desperate need, because that's what we do. We do it for our members, and we do it for people who we encounter who might not have the ability to get the services that we can provide.
Now, you've also pointed out you're not there to provide solely humanitarian relief. Has Global Rescue ever encountered an acute situation where there was an extraction or help being provided to clients where somebody else was left behind? I mean, this is the real world. It must happen.
You know, it does happen. We can't help everybody. We're not a, you know, we're not a government. We're not a publicly funded entity. And even the humanitarian organizations have to make very difficult choices about who to deploy their resources to. You know, I can tell you in the aftermath of the Israeli-Hezbollah conflict, we encountered a refugee situation in the port city of Larnaca on the island of Cyprus. And there were a lot of people there who were starting to get desperate. We had a few available seats in the aircraft that we had sortied to Larnaca to evacuate our clients. And we had to make some difficult decisions. And what we ended up doing was there were several cancer patients who had no ability to get to the chemotherapy that they needed and no ability to get off the island either. And we were able to make seats available for those patients. We weren't able to help many of the other people.
In some of the articles that have described the situation in a place like Nepal, when there is a big disaster, a lot of times you're using subcontracted, let's say, helicopters, right, that you don't own, but you have an agreement with some pilots or a company there where you use those aircraft. Do they ever have stipulations that those aircraft are there for your use unless there's a national emergency and the government needs it? Like, is there ever a situation where you have the use of a resource, but maybe not if the situation is so widespread and dire that it's needed somewhere else?
That's a great question. We don't own aircraft, but we've got thousands of aircraft under contract, both rotary and fixed-wing aircraft around the world to respond to issues just like the one that occurred in Nepal. We very frequently actually are in the position to be able to bring in airlift from outside the country. But we do have contracts with these companies, and we do know that in events like the Nepal earthquake, they may be called to do government work or to work for other organizations besides Global Rescue. And that's just something that we understand. You know, we're, in addition to being in the healthcare and evacuation and crisis response business, we're also in the problem-solving business. So if there isn't airlift available from a source that we're familiar with, sometimes we'll have to figure out a different way to reach the people who might desperately need our services, either by ground vehicle or on foot or by pack animal or by some other means.
Dan Richards is CEO and founder of Global Rescue. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Todd, thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.